The idea of the subsidy being removed, I hope everybody knows, means that you'll be buying the petrol at a commercial price. Government will no longer get involved in pricing and whatever as such. Okay, so you'll be paying a commercial price. And but then hopefully by that time the Dangote refinery might be up and running, and hopefully if they can manage, because for only God knows how many years now we've not been able to fix the Port Harcourt, Warri and Kaduna refinery. Hopefully, one of the candidates has said that he will sell the refineries, and I agree with him. Government years over years and years and years have found it so difficult to maintain these refineries at the optimum. So, as we are now, you need to brace yourselves for this. The price of petrol has gone up at the depot to 240 per liter from about 225 per liter the previous week. In truth, I've been buying petrol at about, I think, 240 or so now at the pump. I didn't go to depot. Is that at the pump? A lot of stations are actually selling at 240. The IPMAN, Independent Petroleum Marketers Association, said the current petrol scarcity might continue till June 2023, when the government removes the subsidy. Engineer Farouk, whose agency has the responsibility to regulate activities in the midstream and downstream sectors, did not respond to Vanguard inquiries on the rise in private depot price of petrol to 240 per litre. But Vanguard, on checking, indicated that petroleum lifting is ongoing at many private depots with commercial stock of the product. It also showed that the NMDPRA has reopened 7 depots, including Bluefin, Reynolds, Adova, and Nepal, that were short for selling the product at over 148 naira per litre. So, and they also report that they're accusing Abuja and Lagos. And I think, in all honesty, can we just have some finality on this petroleum issue and move on? But the implications frighten me. If you are going to be removing subsidy by June, the rate at which inflation goes up, I shudder to think of what the spiral effect might be. So that might probably be the first landmine of any government coming in place. But that's where we'll work out.
You know, for us to be very certain that this subsidy of a thing will be removed by June is another story entirely. Because I do remember this current government, when they were campaigning back in 2015, they promised that they were going to remove subsidy. In fact, they said there was nothing like subsidy. I mean, the record was there in the public domain. This is not them saying what we're not sure of. But here we are. We're still paying subsidy. In fact, we're still going to pay subsidy until June. And now that we're buying at 240, in some areas, I've heard on this program that some people are buying as high as 500 naira in some areas. Now, if we're paying as much as 500 naira to buy a liter of fuel, who is to say that we're still paying subsidy right now?
Well, to be honest with you, there I go again. You know, I wanted to have a peaceful Friday, but you spoilt it again.
Sorry.
With this question.
Sorry.
The truth is that this subsidy thingy is a racket. Just like you find racketeering in the area of crude and so on and so forth, is a racket. And it's feeding a lot of the elite in Nigeria. Because it's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Okay, so what happens? I'm supposed to go bring in petrol at a price when the petrol supposedly lands. I then take the paperwork to whoever it is and the government pays me the subsidy. I mean, who does that? Who does that? Why, for example, instead of paying subsidy, why can't the government import the oil and then sell to marketers at a subsidized price? Why haven't you, over 8 years, gotten the refineries running? Because if your refineries are running, then you can subsidize the cost of the crude. You understand what I'm saying? And you are going to take it out of your open quota. It's a win-win situation, but our politicians don't do that. They don't want that. And a lot of the elites that you see today, a lot of the big men put in this committee or that committee, that is where our elite, that is where they feed from.
There's so many free money.
Including the politicians. It is free money. That's what it is. So it's a racket. There's no other way to look at it. It's a racket. A lot of the elite you see in the upper areas driving jeeps and so on. Do you know how many people live off government money, Sheriff? If we had a journalist, maybe a Hundein, that's his name, of it.
Yes.
If we could have an Hundein who could document the leakages, you'll discover that close to 30% of your big men, the jobs you think they have, and all the fine offices, it is from these things that they benefit. And they're very close to power. Very, very close. Extremely close. Some of them we know, we identify. But they are now, some of them are now so-called elder statesmen. You know, because you need to look at these things. When we were growing up, we had so-called rich men, you know, but they had industries to show for it. The Odala Odutolas, Ojukwu's father.
Yeah, they had big industries.
Big industries. They had it.
They worked really hard.
Worked real, real hard, and you could see. And they didn't fritter their money away anyhow. But what do you have today? People buying various cars. Yesterday, I checked the price of one car. An SUV, just under the SUV, not bulletproof, 96 million. They buy it. Ooh. They buy it. So,
did you want to buy one?
A big one. Would you stop embarrassing me?
You say you should have the best.
I was had a car. I was full of my jacket.
You said you checked out the price. I just wanted to find out if you wanted to buy one.
I must admit that for the first time, Jenny, you shocked me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But I need to catch my breath. For the first time, you shocked me. For somebody like me, even if I had the money, tenfold.
Yeah.
I'm a sensible person. I'm not giving to the gallery. A lot of our elites are very emotional. They must show off this money. They don't want to have the money. They don't want to develop anything. But they just must show this money. Call a party, champagne everywhere. They must show the money. Don't you see the madness? If you look at the way some of our elite behave, you will know that there's a certain madness going on that is tied to easy money. Like I said, the SB Bakare's, all these, the Fajemi Rokun's back, that at least I know in this part of the world, the Dantatas and so forth. These were businessmen. Ojukwu's father ran a successful transport business. You know, these were people who were doing real good business. But what you have now, only God will help us. And that is why that question that you asked could be valid.
Right.
It could be valid.
Let's go take the Vanguard, page 7. Herdsmen destroy 30 hectares of cassava farm in Ondo.
Oh, when I read this story, I felt so bad.
Such an unfortunate story.
And the story says that, can you imagine the herdsmen have destroyed 30 hectares of cassava at Igbaraoke? This is Igbaraoke. I think that's where Igbaraoke.
That's Ondo.
That's where my friend said my brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's from where. Okay, I'm going to get a chieftain's that when it becomes over. The cassava farmland estimated that over 10 million belongs to Information and Orientation Commissioner, Dr. Ediola Feso, is well known. He's a member of the PDP. He said he was close to tears yesterday when he spoke with newsmen in Akure. He said that the 30 hectares of cassava farm were destroyed by the cows brought by the headmen. I don't know what stock these headmen are made of. You see that somewhere is a farm. You understand? These guys are planted. It's a farm, you know, planted roads. And you put your cows there. And it says that cassava uprooted was... Okay, so they were the ones who even uprooted the cassava. Oh, my God.
Yes, they uprooted the cassava and fed their cows with the cassava.
Kumasho. And it says that the herders approved cassava. Owner Lafayette of petitions, Akeredolu Amotekun, has fought for over 1 year. I think Akeredolu and Amotekun should go after these guys.
They've been trying.
They should go after these guys. They should go after these guys. And we need to put some finality on this issue of herding cows. How even for those of us who eat the meat, how do you eat meat from a cow that has been walking all the way from Maiduguri?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. I don't see why we can't have ranches. Put the cows in a trailer, bring them to wherever it is, and dump them in one place.
There.
And people go and buy the cows there. I don't know. You see, politics in Nigeria is very, very funny. It's very, very funny. I had a very restless night yesterday, you know, reviewing my country, the politics and so on and so forth. A very, very funny country. Nobody does this. You know, in all my years, you know, in other countries, I've never seen somebody, you know, heading cows from. Nobody does this. No, especially not in where my friend is coming tomorrow.
Which one?
Igodalo, Itua.
Nobody does this.
He's coming tomorrow. You know, nobody does this. But politics, and the politics, what it does is that it muddles up common sense. Muddles it up. Politics and show of power. You know, why should you have cows having access to a man's? You shouldn't even have access to a man's private farm. They probably broke the fence to get in.
Maybe the farm didn't even have fences around it. But this is not new. This happens all the time, and this is what usually more often than not causes clashes between farmers and herders. And it's been around for God
knows. To be honest, this is in the papers because it is a Jola vessel. What I'm saying is that it's more commonplace than you would imagine.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's more commonplace than you would imagine. It is. But you see, it's been highly politicized now. You know, Miyati Allah, everybody's blowing hot and cold and so on and so forth.
I would love for them to even respond to this. The people you mentioned, Miyati Allah. I would love for them to respond to this.
By the way, I'd like to sympathize with my good friend, Ambassador Folake Marcus Bello. Her own farm got burned down.
Oh, my.
Yes. The whole farm got burned down. And so, how does a farm get burned down? So, arson is suspected. Who could be doing these kind of things? We are yet to establish. You know? Nigeria is a tough country to live in.
It's actually tough.
It's a very tough country live in. And the things that would appear to be simple have been so politicized. I am so frustrated about this political dispensation that we have in this country. I'm telling you. And this is another thing that should never happen.
Yeah.
Put the cows in, ideally, you should even be putting them in a train. And then from the train station, you drive them to the ranch. Then if you want to buy a cow, you go pick up one there. But I wonder, just one more thing. In some other countries, like in Europe and so on and so forth, nobody buys cows.
They have abattoirs.
They have abattoirs. You go, no, you don't want to go, but Nigeria must do show now.
Yes, no. You have to tie the cow in front of your house.
Sheriff.
Yes. People must know that JD has arrived.
When JD
wants to celebrate weekend.
When my sweet auntie died, Mrs. Funke Akipugwe, I told her I was working as a director there. So I told the guy who bought that car, it must break about 3 windscreens. Taloni Malu.
I've never heard that before.
I don't know what happened. I'm sure, I don't know. God forgive me. By the time I got news of the car that had been delivered, the likes of Tola Akipugwe and Mimi Femi, people never laugh my way. Uncle Malu, you do there. Oh, thank God it's Friday. I just need this kind of thing to live. Malu, you do there. The thing can hardly move. But this idea, back to the. You know, there was a government official who died. God bless my friend Josie. He died some time ago. He was a government contractor. So the mother of the... He was a NEPA contractor. So the mother of the director died. So I got to Josie's office and he was telling them they should go and buy 2 cows. They bought 2 cows. They got 2 of his guards wearing his uniform. And so they had to put the cows in the guy's compound in Ikoyi with other cows, but his own men standing next to it. So that if I have a sokale, he will see that, okay,
that's the old.
This is Joseph's cow.
Oh my God. Elmo, I mean, you have to know that.
You have to know.
Ah, it's my cow.
It's my cow.
Have you seen my cow outside? You like it, can you?
There are some things we need to, we probably need to, if we could discipline ourselves, there are some things we need to do better in the modern world, instead of moving a cow. And have you seen a cow that has the bologi? Oh, my God. If a cow with the bologi enters this compound.
Oh, my God. How did you come up with that? No way.
I'm always trying to listen like that.
Sorry. Okay. Pardon us. I hope you had fun listening to that short break.
It's fun. After yesterday's, which I hear was trending.
let's do this one from The Punch. No timeline to remove Okupe from watch list, EFCC.
No, what happened to Dunyo Okupe yesterday was very embarrassing.
I think it was humiliating.
Very humiliating. The guy must have... I hope he's going to sue somebody. Okay, so you know that Dunyo Okupe was on trial. The sentence had been given. He paid the fine on the spot, virtually, and was free to go. But the EFCC refused to inform
The DSS
to take him off the watch list. You know, when you get to the airport, you first of all present your passport to the DSS. And I can tell you, as somebody who, the kind of job that I do, I'm always holding my breath. I'm always telling the car that drops me not to go yet to make sure that so we all queue and then you can't. And I've always said that no, that is not the way to run a country in 2023. Why don't you synchronize the computer system with that of immigration? Do you understand?
So it just flags the person.
It just flags the person, and then so you can put it on a machine, which immigration told me that they have. Some immigration guys told me, God, we get these things. God, no want us to use that. It's being used in Ghana. You put your passport page on the machine, and the door opens. If the door doesn't open, it could then be that. There's something wrong with your passport, so it's done manually. That again provides a bit of less embarrassing cover. So I can imagine doing presenting this passport and say, "Okay, please move aside," and then I turn to the next person and tell him. And that was because the EFCC didn't do his job. And then the EFCC is now, there's bravado with it. It says that no timeline to remove Okupe from what is. There must be a timeline. How can you say there's no timeline? Once a man is free from whatever
he's
free.
He's paid the fine, so
you shouldn't be embarrassing him. And I disagree with the EFCC spokesperson. He said, although the EFCC had on Thursday said it would remove Okupe from his watch list more quickly, in a separate telephone interview with The Punch on Thursday, Ugwu Jaren noted that the removal of Okupe's name from the watch list will go through a process for which the EFCC cannot confirm its duration. Mr. Woodyan, and I disagree with you completely. You can't do this to citizens. If a man is free, he's free. I'm not saying you can keep him under watch or whatever for as long as you have a case against him. But in this case, that the case has gone to court and been finalized, his name should be removed automatically. It means somebody is not doing his job. There must be somebody who coordinates all these things. You know, some level 8 or level 10 officer who coordinates all these things and their daily reports. From the daily reports, you send a list to the EFCC. It's not rocket science. Put some, even a youth copper can do it. Okay, yes, what are the daily reports of the cases we have? Can you remove these people? This is almost a month or more than a month after, and the man is going for his medicals and he got turned back. Now he's going to have to pay some money back to the airline for them to carry him. Because he's not a no-show. He had already been checked in. He had already been checked in. And Woody already said that Okupe this will go through a process for which the FCC cannot confirm. Nobody runs any serious organization like that. Do you mean you can't confirm? You must give a deadline. If it's going to take you 3 days, then let everybody know. Then when you have a case, you wait for the 3 days to lapse, and then you go ahead. But I think that the wise thing to do now, if I were you, the wise thing to do now, even say you get problem, then know these people. 2 days before you go, you take, you know, don't pick up your phone. No. Go there and do face to face, and say, "Am I free? Am I free? Am I free to go?" Because you must always know the country that you live in. And he says that Ujaran says there's a process for doing this, and one can't say, "Okay, this is the day we are going to end the process." I disagree with this gentleman completely. Completely. And I think our situation is explicit and we are standing by it. I don't like this kind of bravado. Government agencies are supposed to serve the people. How can you say you stand by it, that there is no known period by which this can be done? Whereas it's so straightforward. From the moment Okupe paid that fine in the court, he is a free man. So if you can now tell us that, okay, please, when these things happen, please, within 24 hours is when we'll get the clearance, then let us know. But you can't say it's just open-ended. I don't agree to that. And Udaren added that he could not confirm any inquiry whether officials of the commission apologized to Okupe. Okupe had said that on social media that DFCC officials apologized to him. He had to go back all the way to me, you know, to meet them. I think the short way with which we run.
I felt really bad.
Yes,
I felt really bad.
I can imagine if I was in his position.
It's so embarrassing.
Heaven help him if he is entitled to NHS, whatever, and he misses this appointment. He might have to wait another 6 weeks to get this same appointment. Let's say he had to see a specialist, maybe a urologist. You know, and the appointments can take that long. He would have to wait another. It's unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. But this is a lesson, really. If you think that you are a man of concern, maybe what you probably need to do is to go a day before us or whatever it is to test the waters and say, please, let me check.
My name, Lydia.
But I have that fear, though.
Yeah, journalists,
I have that fear. You know, once I give them the passport like this and the assistant manager, daddy is going to this. Omoja will be recovered.
Mama, daddy me though. Confirm
daddy me though. Dr. Okupe, you know, on behalf of the country, I apologize to you, you know, for having gone through this embarrassment. We shouldn't treat our citizens like this. We really shouldn't.
Again, I agree with you. It's really not even about, you know, his person. It's about, you know, being
about
in Nigeria.
It's about the system.
Yeah.
And I don't like the way the spokesperson, I keep saying it. I don't like the arrogance in his speech that it is open-ended. You can't say that. Let us know. If it is 7 days, then we know that there's a time lag to it.
Yeah.
And people in government should remember one thing. One day they are going to be ordinary bloody civilians like us. And if they are not careful, it's when they go through these things that they look back and regret that they could have done something. That happens all the time.
Indeed.
That happens all the time when you're still within the system. Arrogance comes in, and by the time you leave, no, this is not to Wilson himself. Wilson is just a spokesperson. Yes. He's been told what to say. But I'm talking in general terms. It's not a good way to run an organization.
No, it isn't. But it's a good place to stop for the week.
Yes.
It's a good place to stop. What's coming up at 9?
My friend is coming. Olumide Ajomale. He calls himself a retired accountant. No. All he's coming to do is, look, what you're looking at ahead of you in 2023 is going to be so colossal that you need somebody like Olumide, you know, and we'll be bringing them from time to time to educate you on how to prepare yourself financially.
Exactly.
For what is coming.
I started that this week already. You know, because people really don't know what is coming.
They don't know what is coming. They had better be prepared. Any which way it goes.
Yeah.
Any which way it goes. We were talking politically yesterday. Today we'll be talking financially.
Right.
How do you survive these times? How do you, even those of you that have money, how do you conserve that money?
Yeah.
I watch my money drop on a daily basis, the value.
The value, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other day I went to supermarket to buy Wusi Wusi.
Yeah.
After buying the first one of 40K, I went in 2 weeks' time to go and buy all this Wusi Wusi, 35,000.
Just imagine that. Imagine that.
So, Olumide, we will task him. If need be, I will pay him on your behalf. But when you hear these things and you put it, remember it was Jimmy Disu that provided.
Correct.
Yes.
A bar for the boys. Thank you so much for coming.
I'm inclined to prepare a card ticket before you can listen to this show.
We have to go now. Thank you so much for doing this. Let's go take the news after this. Stay here.
When I finish downloading this show like this, I will go straight to Tayo's house to eat sweet jollof. Then enjoy this movie.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.